In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we will continue our Bible study in the Gospel written by St. Mark. And today we'll start with the chapter number 3. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." You know the system of the Jews at that time, that they meet on weekly basis, each Sabbath, to make their worship. And this is the way they worship God, away from the temple. You know, the temple of Solomon was in Jerusalem, but in the villages of Galilee, they were making their meeting each Sabbath, and they, you know, just pray and pray some psalms and read of the Old Testament. So in the synagogue, when he entered, there was this man who had a paralyzed hand, and they were watching him whether he will cure him or just stick to the commandment that he should respect the Sabbath and do nothing. You know, their way of thinking was very eccentric. They believed that one should never do anything in the Sabbath, even the good things. That's why our Lord told this man, he ordered him saying, "Step forward." Because our Lord did not ignore the problem and did not fear anybody. He was about to teach them how to respect the Sabbath in a holy, spiritual way, not in this literal, eccentric way. They watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" You know, although the question is very clear and very easy to answer, what to do in the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, because one could never do nothing. He should do what? Something. So the question, I think it's very easy to answer, but they couldn't answer the question because of their, you know, this kind of heart full of hatredness and devil power. They couldn't answer even this simple question. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? He put it this way: to save life. Is it wrong to save life on the Sabbath day? But they kept silent. Sometimes people keep silent although they can stick to the truth. They can know the truth easily. They can see it clearly. But they couldn't, you know, say it out loudly, because they will come in a problem with the Jews around. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." Our Lord kept looking around to see whether if there any good man will answer the question frankly and say, "Yes, it's lawful to do good things on the Sabbath." But nobody could say so. So he looked around with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart. Why the heart may be hard? One could save his heart from being hard when he pray honestly, when he repent regularly, when he read the Bible, when he just love anybody around, but with no prayer, with no love, with just sticking to the law without its heart, you know, you will get this hardness of the heart. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole at the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. You know, the Pharisees were there in the synagogue and they were watching him, and they came not to listen to his word but just to accuse him. When the Lord ordered the man to stretch out his hand and he made the miracle, the man was healed. They took this against the Lord and considered him as one who destructed the Lord, the law. So they went to the Herodians to make the story together, how to destroy him. You know, these people called Herodians are the people were, you know, lying and cheating and doing all bad things just to keep their chairs and to keep the government and to satisfy Herodias in his bad deeds. So these Herodians now are part of the problem with the Pharisees against the Lord. They might destroy him. From this chapter, from chapter 3 in our Gospel of Saint Mark, the problem with the Pharisees will start. But Jesus withdrew with his disciple to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. So from this time, you know, he is no longer going to the synagogue because he is not accepted anymore. He will spend most of the time on the sea, on the shore, where the simple people can meet him and he can deliver the message easily to these simple people. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan. So people are coming from everywhere, not only from the Galilee villages, but also from Judea, the southern part of Palestine, and also from Idumea and the near part beyond the Jordan. And those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So although the Pharisees and the scribes and the Herodians, all of them were against the Lord, most of the multitude of the simple people were following him from everywhere to enjoy his teaching. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. Because of the multitude, he asked for a boat, a small one, just to stand in the boat so he can preach the word to the people sitting on the shore. Because, you know, when he is in the boat and just away like 10 meters from the shore, many of the hundreds of the people around can see him and can listen easily to his word. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. Because of the many miracles, people were coming from everywhere just to touch him. They believed that with simple touch, they can get the healing power of the Lord and enjoy his miracles. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And this is strange, you know, because while making these demons casted away, they were crying out, "You are the Son of God." So they are not telling any bad thing. They are giving the people the truth. But because the Lord will never depend on these demons, the bad angels, on his preaching, so he just warned them that they should not make him known. The devil power wanted the Lord to be well known so he can make the problems against him through the Pharisees and the scribes. But the Lord was planning to make the cross on its time, That's why he did not accept this testimony from the demons. And also, you know, these evil powers can say part of the truth, and afterwards they can give us many evil thoughts to think of or to say, so they may mislead us into bad ways. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12. Look to this, he went up on the mountain and called to him, to himself, those he himself wanted. So he started to choose the disciples. Many thousands were following him, but now time came to choose those 12 who will follow him and make the miracles after him. These choices were made on the mountain while he was calling them up. They went before him and he chose them. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Before sending them out to preach, they should spend most of the time with him. So this is, you know, the core of discipleship. The main lesson we should learn, that we should enjoy the company of the Lord before preaching the name of the Lord. We should spend time praying, reading the Bible, enjoying his company, being with him before telling the truth about him. He might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So he gave them the power, not only what to say, what to tell the people about him, but also the power to heal the sick and to cast out the demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, the first one was chosen, is Simon Peter, and he gave him another name, Peter, which means the rock. So it simplified the idea of the faith being like a rock on which you can build your holy life. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, son of thunder. James and John were given the name of son of thunder, which may mean that they were, you know, very hot inside, and they were lightning here and there, were anxious to preach his word, so he gave them the name sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Theodosius, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. So the 12 were choosing out of the multitude following him. He chose them while being on the mountain, and as given by other gospel writers, he spent the whole night praying before choosing them. And some of them were given new names, and after this minute, they were following him all the time, spending the whole time with him to get their discipleship. Then the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. Because of the multitude, they couldn't even enjoy eating easily their meal. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Although our Lord were beloved by multitude of people here and there, his family, you know, he had some family in the Galilee. You know, there were some sister to our beloved Saint Mary, another Mary, and she was married and having some children. So he has some sort of a family. His family in Galilee were not up to this minute following him, but some of them said, he is out of his mind. So when any insult comes to you, by any means, just think or remind yourself that our Lord was also insulted by his family. When his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said he is out of his mind. This is very strange. While he was that much known by many and beloved by all, that his family couldn't believe in him and they thought that he is out of his mind. You know, many of the people just thinking of how to please the people around, not to seek the truth. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons." This is another sort of insulting him, that they considered him as the Beelzebub, the Satan or the evil power one. So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" Now he is answering back this kind of accusation or insult by saying, how can the devil power just cast out another devil power? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. This is very simple parable and easily understood, that any kingdom will not be united together, and any division happened inside this kingdom will never last long. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So he is answering this insult by saying, if the kingdom of Satan is divided against each other, the Satan will never last long. But being the devil power and continuing its bad things doing here and there, this means that this kingdom is not divided on itself. And also, you know, this is some teaching, Christian teaching, that we should keep our houses united, our service always united, to keep the kingdom of God in one. And if Satan had risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. This is another parable, that anyone can never get into a house and take the goods of this house unless he first bind the strong man keeping this house. So by saying so, this means that the power of God is just more powerful than the devil power. And by the hand of God, our Lord could cast away the demons, because he is the hand of God, he is the Son of God. "Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemy they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit." By saying so, our Lord is telling us that he is the Son of God, and he is the one who cast out demons, he is the one who can heal the sick, he is the one who is really powerful to do all types of miracles. And if we are not believing in him as the Son of God, we'll be condemned. So for those who considered him as having an unclean spirit or following the Satan power, this means they will never be saved. So he put it this way: who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiven. Why he put it this way? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, as God. By rejecting the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by staying against this message coming from the Holy Spirit, that the Lord is our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be condemned. So by saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is an unclean spirit, or following unclean spirit, we will never be saved, we will be condemned. You know, for those who even blasphemes the name of our Lord, but after some years they repented and they accepted the message from the Holy Spirit, like Saul, St. Paul, who at a time were a blasphemer. He blasphemed the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, but after many years being a persecutor of the church, he converted into a good Christian and a disciple by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he did not go into condemnation. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside they sent to him calling him. And the multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." This means that our Lord Jesus Christ were not spending much time with Saint Mary because of his mission here and there. That's why she looked after him just to see him or spend some time with him. But he answered them saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." By saying so, he showed us that choosing his mother to be his mother, because she was the one who followed his word and obeyed his word, and she chose to be devoted to him, that's why he chose her to be his mother. So anyone can be inside the family of the Lord by just listening to his word. And as he said, who does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And also you can think of these brothers of the Lord. I don't think many of them believed in him as Lord at that time, and some of them may come at that time just to prevent him from his missionary. That's why he did not receive them. But concerning Saint Mary, she is the one who believed in him, but she was, as usual, she kept silent and she did not utter a word. Chapter 4. Again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude would gather to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. You know, most of the sermons given by the Lord were given on the sea, and this to simplify the idea that he went out of the temple, out of the synagogue, because this is the end of the Old Testament and the end of the Jewish religion and the start of the new era, the New Testament, the new life for everybody, and this kind of better life for everybody who believe in the Lord. He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parable, and said to them in his teaching. So as usual, he was standing or sitting in the boat, and the multitude on the sea, on the shore, and they were listening to his word, and he was preaching his word in many hours daily, and they enjoyed his teaching. "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You know, this is the commonest parable, which is the sower who went to sow the seeds, to implant the seed in the earth. And here the Lord is giving us four kinds of hearts, four kinds of people receiving or accepting His word. Some of the people are like the first one, who just like the wayside. You know, the wayside is never a good ground for planting. That's why the birds of the air came and devoured it. Many people just listening to the word of God, but they do not even bother to think of it, to just meditate or trying to obey. They just listen. And by only listening, we do nothing. The birds will come and take the seeds and nothing will happen. The second type of people, or second type of hearts receiving the word of God, they are a bit better that they receive the word of God, but you know, it have not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. This kind of stony ground, you know, they cannot accept the seed deep inside. They just give some plants very little, and when the sun come, they cannot withstand the hotness of the air, and they never give crop. Also, the third type of people are those who receive the word of God, but they are very busy doing many things away from God. This is kind of thorns that choking the seed. So although they are ready to receive the word of God and they're happy to receive the word of God, they cannot give fruitful life because they are indulged in many business here and there, and they are busy making money or doing lust, so they cannot give crop. The last type of people, type of hearts receiving the word of God is the good ground, who, you know, sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. For those who receive the word of God and think it deeply and trying to obey the word of God and focusing on the word of God, by doing this, by struggling to obey the word of God, they give up a fruitful life. And He said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So He is just telling everybody, you are all of you having ears, please hear whatever I say, let him hear. Because many of those who are hearing the word of God do not focus or think of the word of God. But when He was alone, those around Him with the 12 asked Him about the parable. And He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. He was just mentioning an old prophecy written by Isaiah in his chapter number 3, that the Jews were always seeing, but they not perceive. They seeing, they may see, but never perceive. And also they were hearing the word of God, but you know, they never understand the will of God. Also, they were following the Lord, but not obeying Him, because they never turned away to forgive, for asking for forgiveness, or doing the will of God. Exactly the same applies to the multitude around. They were just enjoying His word, but they were not ready to follow Him or to obey the word. That's why He said that the mystery of the kingdom of God is still, you know, not known to them, because they are not ready to accept this mystery. By saying so, You know, all of us who are listening to the Word of God, we should listen carefully and be ready to obey the Word of God and to follow Him in His teaching. Glory to God. Amen.